Blog Talk Radio.
Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher
and the pastor.
There you go again.
There you go.
You're all right today.
You were
ready to be free today, ain't you?
Yeah, God's good.
You see, it's all
God's good.
And his mercy and his grace endure forever.
Just when you think that God's been as good as he can ever be to you, God is better than what you ever expected.
My Lord, my God.
Hallelujah. That's my testimony. That's my testimony.
Stay right there.
Yes.
Stay right there. Don't move from that. The enemy wants you to move from that
place
of testifying, of opening your mouth. The enemy wants you to silence up, shut up, and move. But don't stay right there. Testify the goodness of the Lord. People need to hear that.
God is good. God is good. And I tell you this, you know, when God show up and he touch you and he shows something, he moves some mountains out of your way.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm trying to tell you, that's when you know that, oh, God, you're better than me than I ever imagined.
Jesus.
Than I ever imagined.
Jesus.
You know, God that moves some mountains, you know. We can read that in the word, you know, that moves mountains. But when you actually experience a mountain in your life and it being moved, Oh, that gives you a different perspective on how good God is.
Jesus.
Amen.
You know, you do it for you, you do it for me, you do it for everybody. If you just trust him, if you trust God to do it, God will do it. He will step in.
And he won't stop.
He won't stop.
Right,
you know, but one thing we know about the God that we serve, he is not a God of, he will not try to control you.
That's right.
He will not try to make you do anything.
That's right.
You have to surrender over your will.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so excited about today. And we want to give everybody a chance to really get on right now. You all, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to play this song that I really have grown to really like. Well done.
Yes.
Just to give everybody a chance to get in, because a lot of people are asking regarding this topic, when prayer ain't working. You know, he said, I'm praying, and I'm still going through. And we're going to talk about when prayer is not working.
Amen.
You know, and people say, how is it that prayer doesn't work? No, why it is not working for me? Why am I praying each and every night for this one thing to happen and it's not happening? I'm asking God to show me some things. I'm asking God to heal me. I'm asking God, you know, to open up the door for me for promotion, and I'm asking God to do all these things, so God is asking you to do something.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to talk about when prayer ain't working.
My Lord,
we're going to go scripture. We're going to allow scripture to interpret scripture, you know, word upon word, precept upon
precept.
And just trusting God to lead us in this this topic on today, when prayer ain't working. I know you all that are listening, have there been a time where you were like, you know what, I'm praying for nothing. You know, everything I pray, it's just like God is not hearing me.
That's right.
I'm still going through, and I've lost God. You know, the Bible says that if I ask anything in Jesus' name, that he will do, and I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ,
That's right.
I'm believing, but why is it not working?
That's right.
Why is prayer not working?
Hallelujah. It's going to be some deliverance going on tonight.
Yeah, be delivered.
Oh, what a
beautiful
day.
Be ready.
Oh, we're so glad to be back, you know, with our family here. It's Thursday. This is a good time. It's a good time. We get a chance to loosen up a little bit. We get a chance, you know, to talk, you know, our listeners, you know, our church members, you know, they get a chance to make a comment, you know, but man, this is a great day.
Yes.
It's a great day.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I see Miss Connie say, hey, Miss Connie, we
Ms.
love Miss Connie.
We love
we love Miss Connie.
Welcome.
Ain't that nice? If you ain't got a Miss Connie in your life, you are really missing out.
We
see Miss Connie. We don't have the lines open on the preacher and the pastor show, but if you want to say anything, feel free to press one. We want to hear from our listeners. Those that attend on Thursday, we hear every Thursday at 8 p.m. live here with a new topic as we're led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I got this topic last night. I was sitting up in bed waiting for you, and I was just like, okay, let me go ahead and study as I'm led. So this is so important, because you hear people all the time, you know, going, I'm praying and nothing's happening. I mean, what do I do then when God is not listening to me? I mean, does he not care? And the Bible tells us that he cares.
That's right.
Care for your kids because he cares. He said, cast your cares for me, your concerns, your worries and stuff. We're going to talk about when prayer ain't working no more, you all.
Do we have any new listeners?
We have some new listeners here today. I don't know everybody's number and all that, but, you know, we thank God for those that are tuning in. And a lot of times people are tuning in and they have their phone on speaker, so it's not just them. There are other people that are listening. So we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that this show will bring deliverance and peace and freedom in the name of Jesus Christ, healing, you know, understanding, you know, one thing, revelation and knowledge and wisdom of God, who God is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So you all, we're going to pray this song, well done, and then we're going to get right back. And the only reason why we're doing something different right now is because we want to allow other people to be able to get on tonight and be able to receive this word when prayer ain't working, because a lot of us are, you know, either thought that or dealing with this thing, you know, I'm praying.
This is one of the age-old questions of the whole world. This is a question right here that many people have in this world. You know, why my prayers are not being answered.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So you all sit back and relax and enjoy this song, this selection, and we'll be right back with When Prayer Ain't Working. Amen.
Amen.
When prayer ain't working. All right.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear you say, well.
One time,
one time,
one time,
one time, one time.
Ooh, I just want to hear.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. We thank God for this opportunity. Once again, you all, if you're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about when prayer ain't working. This show is to bring an understanding why prayer isn't working. The Bible says in James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So we're talking about when prayer doesn't work anymore. I know there's been a time in your life where you've prayed for something and you're saying God didn't show up and it went a whole nother way. And you're thinking to yourself, why is it that I pray so hard? Why is it that each and every night I pray for this thing and God never answered my prayers? So today we're going to give you that answer when prayer ain't working. So we look at the book of James here, James 4:3, you all. Again, I'll repeat that. And I'm going to do James 4:3, you all, I'll give you time to get there. James 4:3 again says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So you're asking God in the midst. You're asking God for those things that the flesh is desiring. And so you're wondering, why, Lord, are you not Why are you not answering my prayers? So the Bible tells them because you act in the midst. So even when we look at verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is intimate with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. So you've made the world, you know, you befriended the world and the worldly things. So you're acting in the midst of those things that are of the world. And the Bible tells us here is that if we are friends to the world, then we are enemies to God. So when we look at the scripture, there's nothing wrong with wanting a pleasurable life. God gives us good gifts that he wants us to enjoy. So, but having friendship with the world involves seeking pleasures at others' expense or at the expense of obeying God, you all. Pleasure that keeps us from pleasing God is simple. Pleasure from God's rich bounty is good, you all. So understand when you're asking in prayer for these things, what are you truly asking for? And make sure that you're not acting in the midst. So understand this, when we are praying and prayer is not working, prayer doesn't work in that we cannot manipulate God by praying, you all. People think that they can go to prayer and manipulate God by asking God for these things, but it is still effective. Prayer is still effective. It is important because of this prayer. Prayer changes us, you all. Prayer changes our life. God wants us to pray because this is how we connect with him, that it is how we, this is how we include him in our lives, and this is very important that we pray. Not always looking for God to do something. Not always, you know, just being able to have that communicate, to be able to commune with God and to have God to draw us near to him so that we can have that relationship with God. A lot of us are only praying to receive things from God. We're not going in and praising God and just thanking God for what he's already done. So you all, we need to practice praising God out loud. There is power in praise. Make sure that you're praying. I was telling my husband earlier that the enemy wants to silence you. He wants to silence your praise. He wants to silence your worship. He wants to silence you. So if you're in the mindset, God is not answering my prayers, the first thing people run back to is to the world. They run back to what, you know, that doubt. They run back to unbelief. They run back to worry. They run back to those same things that they've been praying God to deliver them from. Because, and sometimes he may ask you to tarry. Just wait. Just wait. You know, a lot of times we want to go, and a lot of times we don't, when God is saying stay and wait, he's going to do it, but we're wanting God to do it how and when we want God to do it. You know, so a lot of times he won't answer your prayer, and we'll talk about that even in the Bible. When Jesus went back and asked, he went three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went three times and asked his father if he could take this cup away from him. You know, not his will, but let thy will be done. So God did not answer his prayers to take the cup away from him. Even when David went and prayed about his son, his infant son was very sick. And if you know the Bible, it said that his son died. And so there were many times in the Bible where people prayed. I'm talking about, you know, people that had a heart for God, but God did not answer their prayer for them because God had something bigger. And he told even David, he said, I'm gonna bless you. And with another son, you will have another son. He sent the prophet and told him, yeah, this one is not going to make it, but I'm going to bless you with another son. And he's going to build my temple. So you all, a lot of times, if God doesn't answer the way you want him to answer, does not mean that he did not do it the way that he wants to do it. He answered you in the way that in his godly way, in his sovereignty. So we got to understand that God knows the beginning. He knows everything in the middle and the end. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And I think once we understand that more, we will understand how prayer truly works. And we're going to talk about that. What happens, you know, why my prayers not being answered? We're going to talk about why your prayers are not being answered here on the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, this is one of the most ask question. This is one of the most concerned questions that I have had growing up, and I'm quite sure I'm not the only one. You know, is when I pray to God, you know, how come, you know, that my prayers are not going answered? Mm-hmm. And you are right on point with the things that you were saying, or you were talking about, you know, having that relationship with God. You were talking about, you know, what's inside of you. So that's one question that I asked, and since you're all over here in James, well, we'll stay right here in James for a second here, and I'll give it back to you here. I want to be over here in James chapter 5 here. Okay, one question that I have asked myself, even when you told me that this is what we were going to be delivering the message, I had to ask myself, okay, when I pray, okay, what am I asking God to do? What is it that I'm asking God to do, or what is it that I'm asking for? You know, and that question right there, you know, that really put me in the position of, okay, am I coming correct? Am I going to God like I'm supposed to come to God? So when I asked myself that question, that really put me in the position of, okay, all right. Well, James chapter 5, and over here in verses 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? He says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? No, let him have psalms. And 14 mm-hmm. says, and if anyone who is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let him mm-hmm. and let them go over them, anointing them, you know, with oil in the name of the Lord. So I had to ask myself, okay, well, I know I'm going to God, but, you know, it seems like my prayers are not being answered, you know, and why is that? Well, first, you know, I had to look deep inside of myself. Do I really trust God? Because every single man and every single woman that is in Christ Jesus, you know, you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God. That means that you have a right to go to the throne, you know, in talking to God, and not just talking to God about all your problems, you know, with all the issues in your relationship. God know all about it anyhow. Not just talking to God about everything, you know, that you are worried about. Not like that. You know, when you are the righteousness of God, that means that it's Christ Jesus that is in you. And because it's Christ Jesus that is in you, are you going to God in a manner that knowing that, you know, I'm in Christ, and because, you know, I'm in Christ, I'm trusting and believing in Christ, that means that whatever it is that I'm asking, before I even ask, I know you have already taken care of it because I'm in Christ. I'm your righteousness. So when I look at it, and when I look at that from that perspective, the very thing that I was asking God, somewhere deep down in my heart, I really did not believe that God was going to answer my prayers.
Mm.
And that's the thing that's inside of us. That's the very thing that's inside of us. If there's a prayer that's not going answered, that could be a possibility. Now, I'm not saying that I'm like that now, but I'm saying what I'm saying is before, when I was going to God, I really wasn't trusting and believing in God. I was going to God and wasn't even underneath the right authority. I'm not even asking anything in Jesus now. I'm just asking God to do it for me because I need you to do it for me. Not in the name of Jesus. I was not decreeing and declaring that I am your righteousness. I wasn't doing that. I was just praying for things just because this is what's going on at the time. I know we really don't have the right relationship with one another, but I was told that I can come to you and you can answer my prayers here. So I'm coming to you to answer this prayer, not my not all my prayers. I want to answer this prayer for me because, you know, I need help with this one. And when you answer this prayer, then I'm going to go back out here in the world and do what it is that I've been doing.
Jesus.
I believe that's the reason. I believe that's the reason why I'm right there.
Amen. If you're going to tune into the preacher and the pastor, we're talking about when prayer is not working.
Yeah.
When prayer ain't working, you know, we have to understand as long as your prayers are for selfish motives, you are driven by pride, hidden in your heart,
hallelujah,
God will not answer them. If you're knowingly condone sin, you are, whether it's happening to you or to someone else, and you don't correct them, you regard iniquity in your heart. And this right here, forget about God's answering your prayers, you all. You got to understand, you know, what are you doing? You know, look at yourself. Okay, I'm praying. But, you know, when you're praying, what is really going on before you go into prayer? A lot of times people are going to prayer and they don't believe. They're going in with doubt. You know, they're going in with the unbelief. They're not even believing. They just say, well, let me just try and see. You know, it ain't no try and see if God is going to do it, but believing that God is going to do it in prayer and then accepting, you know, ask God, let thy will be done, Father God. You know, Lord, show me the way, direct me. Let me receive divine direction, instructions on what to do. A lot of times we put things before God, but we try to tell God how to do it. So, but we look at Matthew 5:23-24, chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, as we're talking about when prayer is not working, you all. The Bible says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled The Bible tells us first to be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So before you can even go to God asking or even giving an offering, you need to reconcile with your brother or sister. And even if it's your wife, that's your sister. Even if it's your husband, that's your brother. We're, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So you need to reconcile, you know, so that your prayers can be answered. The Bible tells that a husband, if he doesn't do right by his wife, your prayers will be hindered. So when we look here in this particular book, in Matthew 5 and 23 through 24, broken relationships, you all, can hinder our relationship with God. So if our relationship is hindered with God, then our prayers are hindered. So if we have a problem or grievance with a friend, we should resolve the problem as soon as possible. We are hypocrites if we claim to love God while we hate others. Our attitude toward others reflect our relationship with God. Then understand this. I want you all to think about this. Let's say you want something from me, or somebody wants something from you, but you know their true intentions. You know their heart. You know they say, I'm going to give it to you, but really they're not going to pay you. It's a money, because people go crazy about their money, you know. So they say, okay, I want to borrow this amount of money from you, okay? And they, you know, in their heart, and they tell you, I'm going to pay it back, but you know their intentions and their thoughts that they're not going to pay you back. And they, in their mind, they say, hey, they stupid, because as soon as I get it, they ain't going to never hear from me. But just think about that. If you knew that, would you have, it's been times when you told that person, if you ever need me, you know, and you've been there for them before. You've been there to help them along the way when they needed something, you know. But you know their intentions of their heart. You know if you give them this money, what they're going to do. So if you knew that already, would you continue to come and do for that person? Would you continue, you know, when you know that their thoughts? So think about God. You know, God is telling us, well, you need to be this way. And God knows your thoughts. He knows your plans. He knows everything about you. So while you're sitting there praying, God save me, God save my child, God do this, He knows the true intentions. Oh, Lord, if you heal me this time, if you do this for me this time, I promise you, I'm going to give my life over. I promise you I won't go back to it. And then God does it, and then you go back again. And then here you come again. Lord, this time I've learned my lesson. And hallelujah. You're praying and you're praying, but God already knows you all. And so my thing is, people act like God is Santa Claus. You know, I can just write my list, and I can, you know what, I can petition, you know, my prayers as a list to God. You understand, people, God is not Santa Claus. You know, when you can go in, here's my wish list, and you know what, check it once, check it twice. So, come again.
I got a question for you right there. You just said something that was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. You said God is not Santa Claus. And you were saying it in the matter of, you know, we go to God, you know, with a Christmas list of worries and concerns and things, you know, that we want. You know, we want these things right now because we've been good. See, that is so good right there. God is not your errand boy. God is not Santa Claus. You know, God, He wants for you and I to have a relationship with Him. Can I just go knock on the neighbor's door and then just ask the neighbor just to give me all that they ever want and need? The neighbor don't know me. The neighbor know that I live next door. He don't know me. We have never established any type of trusting relationship. I mean, I don't trust in them, and they don't trust in me, and you know, I could be talking about the neighbor, you know, right when they get it. Oh, they just gave me this little piece right there. That's the same way. Have you even gave yourself the opportunity? God know you, but have you even gave yourself the opportunity, you know, to get to know God? You know, get to know Him and get that relationship with Him and stop going to God, you know, with your Christmas list. Go ahead, Pastor. I appreciate
that. Amen. Glory to the Most High, God. We thank God because, you know, just understanding that, you know, we'll reevaluate how we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And like you said earlier, some people, they're praying, not even praying in the name of Jesus Christ. They're just saying, God, do this for me. God, I trust you to do it. Right. They never say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But the Bible says that if you ask anything in my name, that I will do in my name so that the Father will be glorified through the Son. So you're not even saying in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you don't understand how important that is and how powerful that is and how that moves, how that renews us, heals us, delivers us in the name of Jesus Christ, because it is Jesus Christ's blood that was shed. It is Jesus Christ that was sent for us that we may have salvation. It is Jesus Christ that redeemed. It's Jesus Christ in His blood that redeems us. So if you're not going in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then whose name are you going into? Because you can't just say, Lord, 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 God, 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 but never in the name of Jesus, because He said the only way you can get to me is through my Son. There is no other way. And a lot of people, they're praying, trying to get to God in another way. But you will get a God, but it will not be the Almighty God that will answer your prayers. Especially when you know you're not doing the things that you should do. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, be honest. The thing is, we got to be honest with ourselves. So when we look and listen to you all, and I want to say this, you know, when we talk about, you know, handling our prayers and why our prayers are not being answered, when you allow, just allow me to share some truths with you all, if that's okay, to give you a handle when, you know, when you struggle with the questions of prayer that doesn't seem to work you all. But I've discovered that God is not a divine Santa Claus, you all. He's not divine Santa Claus. We said that, but a lot of people treat God as a divine Santa Claus. He is not a genie in a lamp. God is not a holy bell hoop or who jumps at our beck and call, you all. God operates by his perfect will, and our prayers are always subject to it. So God's will is not a lie. It's not liable to being triumphed by our wish list. Again, for those who are just tuning in, or people are still tuning in online and chiming in right now, so we're talking about when prayer ain't working, when it seems like the prayer is not working, and you're praying. So all things prayed for are honored, you all, and are denied depending on God's will. So in his book, and you all, when we look at the book in the Bible, the book of life, you all will understand, you know, how we're supposed to pray and what mindset, because a lot of times you need to set yourself, and we're teaching it on strongholds. You got to bind the strong man, too. You got to bind the strong man before you can even go into play. So now that you can believe in what you're praying, we have people that have two different wars going on in their head. And so when you bind that strong man, whether that strong man is depression, whether that strong man is pride, whatever that strong man is, a strong man of worry, then you all, you can begin to, you know, go into prayer and receive, you know. Some people pray and their prayers are answered, you know, quickly. They say, I prayed about something and it came quickly. And some people, some of us, we have to carry for a while. And sometimes God is just saying, I'm doing a whole new thing. But a lot of times we're not ready for God to do a new thing. So when your prayers are not being, and sometimes not even that he didn't answer your prayers, he just answered it in another way that's going to be beneficial for you in the long run. So God doesn't look just at the right now. God looks at what is it for the long run, you know, because whenever God does something, he does it complete. Now, we can walk out of, we can get out of position. I was telling my husband, it's all about positioning yourself, even in prayer, positioning yourself in prayer so that you can receive, you know, all that God has for you, not all that you have for God to do, but that all that God has for you to do. A lot of times we got this whole thing for what God wants us to do, but position yourself to receive what God has for you to do, you know, what God wants for your life. So we should be asking God that. He knows that you're sick. He knows that you're hurt. Yeah, we pray about that. But first of all, asking God, what is it for the God that you have for me to do? Lord, I know you already know all about it, Lord God, and I am trusting in you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, but, you know, go to God with praise and just thanking God. Don't go to God always just complaining from the jump. Just, you know, thank God for his presence. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. Call upon the Holy Spirit to lead you in prayer, you know, so that you will pray prayers that will bring healing and deliverance. So understand God wants us to bring our requests to him no matter what they are, but we must lead them at his throne with a little note that reads, your will be done, not mine. Isn't that how Jesus taught the disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So sometimes God says not yet or no to our petition because it is not now a part of his will or not at all a part of his will. So the first handle I found helpful when facing the perception that prayer doesn't work is that God responds to prayer according to his will and not ours. Not ours. So I've also discovered that even when made with the best motives, you are, sometimes we pray for things that will not bring about the best result in the end. God knows the ultimate outcome of our prayer request. We don't. You know, whether that's someone that's sick in a hospital and you're praying and, you know, God, because people, and I don't want to talk about this because a lot of people, you know, we pray for people to stay alive, and I say, no, it's time for them to come home. They've already suffered enough. I'm calling them home. And with me, there's peace. And with me, there is joy. With me, there's no more pain. There's no more hurt. There's no more agony. And we're trying to hold on to somebody that God is saying, I'm ready for them to come home. So that is God's will for their life. And a lot of times we don't understand. I pray to God to save my child. I pray to God to save my mama, to save my daddy. But see, the thing is, you don't understand God's will and God's plan because we We get so caught up in our own way, you know, our own mind. But when you operate in the spirit, you have a better understanding. That's why you can see some people when things happen like that, and like catastrophic things that you say, oh, that would have told me up. Ooh, I wouldn't even be able to function. But because those people are operating in the full authority of the Holy Spirit, that when those things come in their life, they're able to be in peace and receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. That Jesus Christ gives us. Y'all, excuse me for saying I get excited. So understanding that a lot of times people, well, I prayed and God said this, and what did God allow this to happen? But the thing is this, you all, we don't even know everything. When we see all the things that are going on around the world and we pray for these different parts of the world and things happen, you don't even know what's behind that. You know what I'm saying? You don't know the secret things. You don't know the secret things of the foundation of the earth. You don't know who they're actually serving. So a lot of it, because we only can see with our natural eye until you're able to operate fully in the Holy Spirit, that God will show you those things that you will not be able to see in the natural. So God sees with an eternal eye, you all. We see with blinders on. Sometimes our most innocent prayer requests are not the best for us in the long run. So sometimes God says no, because he understands what it is in our, what's in our best interest when we don't, you all. So the second handle I found helpful when facing the perception that prayer doesn't work is, again, you all, that God is not finished aside. We are, you all. I also discovered in the past, I'll let you speak on this, I also discovered that sometimes we pray for things that will harm ourselves or others, and sometimes our prayers are simply destined to reap tears, you all. We can and do make mistakes when we offer up our petitions. Again, God knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't. So perhaps God says no is the kindest thing that he does for us in a given situation. And I can thank God sometimes that God said no, and not him, and not this, and not this place, and not her. Don't do that business. And I thank God later you find out, oh, God, I didn't understand it. Then before the God, I thank you. The third handle I found helpful when facing the perception that prayer doesn't work is that God doesn't make mistakes. We do. God does not make mistakes. And we all understand we make mistakes. Think about how many mistakes that you have made. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know what? What is it that's in my life that I'm praying about right now? It ain't showed up yet. What is it that's in my life that I'm praying about that ain't showed up yet? Well, there is nothing that I'm praying about right now that haven't showed up yet. And I thank God for that. I thank God that is nothing that my heart desires, that I truly desire, that falls in line with the will of God, that it ain't showed up yet. Because the will of God has already been done. Now, when you get that type of mindset, that the will of God has already been done. God has already overcame the whole world. He sent Jesus Christ here to this world for you and died for you and making intercessions for you. Now, Jesus Christ, the chief intercessor. Now, he's making intercessions for you. So now, be in Christ. Be in Christ. These prayers are just going right there to the ceiling, and they ain't going further than that because of the relationship that you have. You know, you're limiting God. Mm-hmm. You're making yourself so big, or you're making your problems so big, more than what God has already done. Or in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever shall believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. Don't you know Jesus Christ has already given his life for everything that's concerning you? Everything that's concerning you. Get that mindset. Get that mindset first. All right? Now, once you have that mindset that is, you know what, this right here, you know what I'm concerned about, this right here, what I'm worried about, is already won. So now when you go to God, you're going to God, you know, as the righteousness, knowing that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. You read the word of God. The word of God is in you. Every single situation that you come up against every single day of your life, you know, the word of God that you've been reading every single day of your life, you've been making this deposits in your mind. You've been making this deposits in your heart. And then it'll come to the point to where instead of you putting the word of God in your heart, putting the word of God in your mind, when you come in front of these situations, the word of God will come out of your heart. It will come out of your mouth, and you'll begin to tell these things that you're praying about. You'll begin to decree and declare, you know, what God has already said and what God has already done. So have we tried that? Have you tried that? If we are praying, we should know the very prayers that we should be praying, we should be decreeing and declaring what God has already said to us to that situation.
Yes.
Amen. When you say, when you use the word of God, that this is probably one of the very reasons why that your prayers are not answered. You're going to God with worry when you should be letting the chief intercessor, Jesus Christ, which is the word of God that's inside of you, making intercessors for you. Because he said that over here in John 14:1. He said that over here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said that. That I make these intercessions for you. I'm going to God for you because it is the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Use what God gave you. Use what God gave you,
amen,
which is Jesus Christ. Amen.
You just now tuned into the preacher and the pastor show. We're coming when prayer ain't working, you all. And we're going to continue on here.
Yeah.
And but I do want to say this. I mentioned the scripture in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, you know, husbands, if you're praying and trying to figure out why my prayers being hindered, the Bible tells us, husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What is the Bible saying? So if a man is not considerate and respectful of his wife, his prayers will be hindered, because a living relationship with God depends on right relationships with others. You also understand this. Jesus said that if you have a problem with a fellow believer, you must make it right with that person before coming to worship. You can't just, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm about to go pray. You go rushing to pray. No, you got to go reconcile. You need to fix that. You need to go and you need to fix that. You know, they're going praying by myself, closing myself up, and you haven't reconciled, you angry, but you're going to go open your Bible and read it and think you're going to pray and think your prayers are going to be answered. No. The Bible tells us, be reconciled or your prayers will be hindered. That goes for wives. It goes for all of us. The Bible speaking here to husbands here. You know, the wife is the weaker vessel. So this principle carries over into family relationships. So if men use their position to mistreat their wives, their relationship with God will suffer. So if you're married out there, men, be careful if you're mistreating your wife. If the Bible tells us here, and it's not me saying, I'm not harping on any men, but we're looking at 1 Peter 3. You can go for yourself and read it for yourself, 1 Peter 3:7, you all. You know, if you're praying and you're saying, my prayer, go, what you say?
Do we have time? Let's go there to 1 Peter. Do we have time? Let's go there to 1 Peter.
No, I really want to move on to, I have a couple other things I want to get in, because, you know, we're getting the time is going by really fast. But we do 1 Peter 3:7. You can go there if you need to. If you need to go there, that's fine. You go there so you can see.
Yeah, I'm a husband. You said let's go there.
1 Peter. You're like, yeah, we have time. We can go there. Yeah, go ahead. Go there so you can see. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, tell me when you get there, Pastor, and then you can read that.
I'm
so you there? Okay, go ahead.
All right,
read
I'm there already. I'm fired up. You know, we thank God.
Okay, go ahead and read it so everybody can hear you.
Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, this ain't saying, you know, that the wife is weaker than you. It's just saying, you know, right here that husband, this is what it says right here of understanding, you know, love your wives. That's what it says right here. With
right,
understanding,
men are called to be the head
of
his house and the priest of his house. So men are called to be the head and the priest of his home.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm gonna stay right here and study that one right there. Go ahead,
all this. Amen. You just now tuning into the preaching, the pastor. So we're talking about when prayer ain't working, you all. For those that are just now tuning in, so I just want to go over some things here before we wrap up here. We have about 16 minutes here. The Bible reveals how God turns a deaf ear to the prayers of those who entertain one or more of these encompasses in their life, and so we're gonna talk about that. God is not an impersonal vendor of favors, y'all. He looks intently at the heart of each of us, each individual, lifting up a petition to him. So James and Philip, you know, the story about James and, you know, just going into the Bible and understanding what the Word of God is saying. And so many times people cried out, you know, when we look in Psalms 88:13, why, God, did you turn a deaf ear, you know, and you know, David is speaking, and in 2 Samuel 12, when we look at Job 30:20, he said, I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer. Did God answer? Yes. He didn't answer at that time, but when God, when he decided to answer, and we got to be, you know, even when he started searching for God to answer him, he wasn't ready for God to answer. So my thing is this, you know, it'll be a time where, you know, it'll seem like God is not answered, but he hears our, he hears all of our prayers. We talking about a God all-knowing, all-seeing, so he know our thoughts. So when faced with a sense that your prayer life is being hindered, you, I ask the Lord to search your life and be willing to deal with what is revealed. Whatever obstruction is disclosed to you, there is a remedy, you all. The good news with any prayer blockage is that there is a spiritual liquid drain of confession and repentance. And we'll look over at Proverbs 28:13, you all, if you want to go with Proverbs 28:13. Pastor, are you there? That's one of your favorite books of the Bible. Proverbs 28:13. You all, Proverbs 28:13. That's my husband's favorite. He loves Proverbs. Book of wisdom.
Yes, I love Proverbs. Proverbs 28:13.
Yeah. 28:13. Yeah, yeah, back me and make sure I'm where I'm at, huh? So what the Bible says, you, are you there?
I'm there.
Okay, you want to read?
He who covers his sins will not prosper. Whosoever confesses and forsakes them, he will have mercy.
Amen. So what is the Bible saying? It is human nature to hide our sins or overlook our mistakes, y'all. But it is hard to learn from a mistake you don't acknowledge. So that you are making, y'all. And what good is a mistake if it doesn't teach you something? You know, if it don't teach you anything, to learn from an error, you need to admit it. You can tell all day long that I can say it, but until you admit it, you cannot receive the help that you need. So we have to learn from our errors. And we have to learn to admit our errors. We need to learn to admit our faults. We have to confess it and analyze it and make adjustments so that it doesn't happen again. Everybody, you all, makes mistakes, but only fools repeat them. You know, if you fall down, get back up again. Don't stay in that thing, you know, constantly doing it over and over again, over and over again. So we need to make sure, you know, because the Bible tells us here in Proverbs 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Amen. Amen. So we thank God. Pastor, you with me over here? You with me on this one?
Yeah, I'm with you on here. I'm with you right here.
Amen.
You know what I have?
Amen.
I have a little something that I want to share. Those who know, those who truly know that God has already done it in your life, and those who know how to go to one another. I know how to go to my wife. I know how to go to my brother or my sister, my mother, and reconcile my differences. And when
my
I go
Lord,
to my brother, and my mother, and my wife, and we reconcile our differences, then guess what? Those who truly know what to do, they will go to God together, hand in hand.
Yes.
And then now, now when you're praying about all that you're praying about, you are touching and you are loving. And when you get to that place where you're touching and you are agreeing, see, prayer is being answered. See, we waiting on God to answer the prayers, but God waiting on us to become it. God had already answered your prayers, but you haven't
come
received
the right
it
way.
Yet because you ain't came right. You ain't came right. You have not gotten in agreement with one another. Get into agreement with one another and you come to God. Not having any fault, not having any unforgiveness, any disbelief, but y'all both or three or two or whoever it is coming together. We're coming to God. God said, you know, that he will answer your prayers. It won't take no long time for it to be answered speedily. Amen.
Amen. According to God's will. Amen. If you just tuned into the preaching the pastor show, we're talking about when prayer ain't working. Now, the sixth handle I found helpful when facing the perception that prayer doesn't work is that our prayers can be hindered. So lastly, I discovered that there are times when God's response to our prayers remains a riddle. Sometimes we just don't know why God deals with us as he does. Again, looking in Psalms 88, you all, is an example of such a mystery. The Bible does not come with a exhaustive explanation of how God works on this side of heaven, we are often given only a reminder of God's faithfulness and an invitation just to trust him. Trust God. And sometimes it's hard to trust. And I'll give you all an example today as far as trusting. That was a young lady we led to sew into that worked at a Family Dollar. So I told my husband, let's go there. And I was looking for her. So I asked the young lady at the register, said, I'm looking for a lady. Don't know her name. And she described, I described it. She said, oh, this is who you're talking about. I said, okay. She said, she's not here. I said, well, do you have a number? She said, yes. So she called the lady. Get the lady on the phone. And I said, hi, you don't know me. This is Pastor Manning, and I'm led to, I have something for you. I have a word from God for you. She's like, well, I'm at home, and I got my cornbread in. Can you give me 15 minutes? So you have to make a choice. So you're talking about somebody that don't know who I am, and I'm telling her to meet me right here, trusting, you know, trusting what I'm saying by the word of God, you know, what God has fit me to do. So, you know, you got your cornbread on and your meat on, but now you got to trust that what you're going for is, you know, what God is leading you to go here because this person is telling you, you don't know, hey, I'm here and I got something for you. Will you trust God and come? You know, not me trusting that God has sent me for you. So a lot of times it's hard for us to trust, you know, so we have to trust God. So remember Paul's word, a present, we are people looking at a puzzling reflection in the mirror. The time we come when we shall see reality whole and face to face. So at present all, we know is a little fraction of the truth. So I know it as a little fraction of the truth. But the time will come when I shall know it as fully as God has known me. And we look at that in 1 Corinthians, you all, if you want to go back to it later, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. So until that time, we must live by faith in God and his promises. Walk by faith and not by sight. So for I know that the plans, God said, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, you all. So until that time, we must live by faith and just trust God in everything that God has for us. So if you rethink and answer prayers in a traditional cliche, you all, given to people struggling with prayer that doesn't seem to work, is God always answers prayers. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. And a lot of times we don't want to wait because it's been so long. I've been waiting for 10 years. I've been waiting for 15 years. I've been waiting. You know, I need this to be done in 7 days, and it's been 30 days, and you get tired of waiting, and then you move. You get out of position. You get out of position and you're saying, well, God never did it, but you move before time. Well, God is saying, wait, there's protection in the way. There's peace in the way. There's even blessings in the way for you, but you won't wait. You want to move, and that's why our prayers are not being answered. It seems that our prayers are not being answered. So recently I came up, you all recently, you know, I was in prayer, and I realized I needed to go to my husband, and I needed to reconcile with him. You know, because I know better, you know, we don't have like the perfect, like we never have a disagreement, you know. And I was like, okay, let me go, because one thing I know better. And I know before I can go into prayer or any of my studies, I have to reconcile with whoever that is. And my husband, since he's the closest to me, to go and reconcile with him. And just, and what I love about what God is doing in our marriage is that we can be honest and say how we truly feel. Because sometimes you're being afraid to really tell your spouse how you truly feel so that you can work on it. So if you keep those things hidden, it's just like unconfessed sins. If you keep those things hidden, then you can never receive. You can never receive. So, you know, the Bible even tells us here, we just read Proverbs 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. So if I cover, right, you know, what's really going on in me, and if my husband cover that, you know, how can we prosper? How can we get anywhere? We'll continue to stay in the same spot with unanswered, you know, ways, and with the going direction, we'll continue to fail and come short. And so that's why a lot of times it seems like our prayers are not being answered. So understand this, and I'll let you speak a little bit here before we wrap up. God has said yes to, or put in another way, our prayers that work only those we believe God has said yes to. And a lot of times we think, you know, God didn't say, he didn't say yes to my prayer, so that prayer didn't work. Well, no, when God says no, he answered your prayers. You know, even though you prayed for this and God said no, receive that. Your prayers have been answered. You know, he just said no. God has not healed me. And, you know, just think about that. God has not healed me if I continue to suffer from, you know, all these different complications and things that's going on in your body. Do you realize or do you believe that God, you know, God won't heal you? Are you in a place of doubt? Do you go in with that doubt? Do you, you know, what are you truly believing? And so, and I want to say this before we wrap up. Sometimes we need to pray and fast. You know, some the Bible tells us some things don't just come out by with prayer alone. It requires praying and fasting. Praying and fasting.
That's right.
And I want to give you all some of this. The Bible identifies at least 10 things that encompass our prayers, you all, when we look in the Bible in Proverbs 28:9, disregarding God's law. You know, we look in Proverbs 21:13, lack of compassion for those that are in need. And if we look in Luke 18:9-14, pride will hinder our prayers. And we look in Psalm 66:16-20, you know, unconfessed sins as we're talking. Isaiah 59:1-2 tells us that a sinful lifestyle will stop our prayers from being answered, make it seem like our prayers are not, you know, not working. It will stop our prayers. And Deuteronomy 1:45, disobedience. When we look in James 4:1-3, wrong motives. You know, broken relationships in 1 Peter 3:7, and James 1:5-7, doubt, having doubt. You know, we can't go in doubting. You know, those things will hinder our prayers, and it will seem like our prayer, that's why our prayers are not working, because we have allowed ourselves to hinder our own prayers, to stop our own prayers, because we're operating in one of these 10, and that will definitely, you know, stop our prayers from working and hinder our prayers. Amen. Pastor, I'll let you go ahead and speak. We have a few minutes left. Go ahead. God bless you.
Amen. You know, this is such a great lesson tonight when my prayers ain't answered. You know, I got some answers, some age-old answers that I haven't, you know, been able to get before. So a lot of times you think you know all that you need to know, and then when you hear the word God and then you hear scriptures, you realize that I really didn't even know. I didn't even know that's what I was doing. I didn't know that's what I was trusting and believing in. I didn't know that I was doing that. And,
Jesus.
You know, so I thank God for that. I thank God, you know, that we've learned about having that relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, our hearts filled with worry, you know, of sin. You know, that blocks up. We block our prayers. You know, we worrying about things. You know, we being self-righteous. You know, we feel with all this pride, you know, thinking that, you know, that, no, I'm not going to pray about this. And now I'm just going to pray about it one time. I'm just going to see what God is going to do. You know, all that stuff we feel, we feel with that. You know, we feel with unbelief. You know, will God answer my prayers? You know, that's a major one. Will God answer my prayers? Yeah, God had already answered your prayers. He gave you Jesus Christ. He already answered your prayers. Jesus Christ is the answer to your prayers. Or maybe even disbelief, you know, we have, you know, why prayer is going out, you know, disbelief. Well, this is what I've been doing. What can God do? This is what I've been doing. See, these are things that really go on in your mind, and they go on in your heart, and they keep you in that place of not being delivered, or not being healed, or not being set free, or not being feeling like you're just not good enough, not being prosperous. You know, be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Be thankful in every single thing that you do, whether you thankful about it because it's going your way, or you're thankful that it ain't going your way. You know, be thankful. You know, first you be thankful. And all that you are praying about, you know, believing and trusting in God that is already done in your life. And come together. Come together with your prayer partners. You know, trusting in the word of God that you're reading every single day. Hey, you're right there on your way. Now you're lining it up with how God wants you to be, the will of God for your life. Amen. God bless y'all. I hope y'all know.
Amen.
God
bless you.
I got a whole lot.
Amen. God bless everyone that's tuning in tonight. We're still talking about when prayer ain't working, you know, when our prayers are being hindered. And we look over to Romans as we wrap up this segment of the show. Romans 8:26-27. You all definitely want to get this one in. That's Romans 8:26-27. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, and we cannot be uttered. You know. Verse 27, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you all, Paul states that we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So to pray deep, you all, in the Spirit, is to focus on God, rejoice,
praise and thanksgiving, confession and forgiveness. Slow down and listen. Plan for prayer time, you all, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And you all, when we talk about grieve, grieve means to present tense when believers cause pain, grief, or distress to the Holy Spirit because of our actions, you all. And then I'll tell you all what those five things are to grieve the Spirit of God. When we do not apply the Word of God, the truth in our life, and we do not desire God's will for our life, when we do not rely on the Holy Spirit, when we are disobedient, when we disobey the Holy Spirit, and when we deny the Holy Spirit, you all. So I hope this show and this topic helped everyone, as well as myself and my husband, all that tuned in tonight. God bless you. We love you. We're back here at 8 p.m. every Thursday with our live show here. We just thank God for everyone. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for this time. Lord God, we thank you, Father God, that our prayers are being answered. Lord God, we ask you to touch every heart tonight. Oh, Father God, touch every mind. Lord God, purify and sanctify our mind and thoughts. Lord God, help us to keep our mind stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. Lord God, oh, Lord, teach us how to pray, Lord God, that we receive all that you have for us, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, creating us a clean heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, restore us to the joy of your salvation, Lord. And, Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, oh God. Let thy will be done right now in us, oh God. Let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for healing us. Oh, Lord, thank you that you've heard our prayers on tonight and you've answered our prayers, and we receive it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, we trust you, Father God, with all things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary that cleanses us, that justifies us, that heals us and delivers us and sets us free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you, and with God's promises, it's in Jesus' name that we pray, that we come together, that we believe it, that we are saved. To God be the glory, and we all say amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
Please tune back in with us. Our schedule, you all, if you want to join in with us, on Mondays at 6 a.m., we have intercessory prayer, and on Wednesdays, we have Bible study on the same platform, and Thursdays, we have the preacher and the pastor show, and then Sunday at 2 p.m., we have Sunday service, and we're going to start having Sunday school 30 minutes before extra church service, but that won't start until the following weekend. So God bless you all. We love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. You all have a good night, and we love you. Love you, honey. God bless you. We love you,
yes.
Miss Connie. God bless you.
Oh, I want to see him. Hallelujah. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Give it back to you. You give me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansions. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like, can you imagine?